chair tomorrow morning. Well, is that okay? Can we do that? That'd be good. We'll make space for you tomorrow. But I love hearing what God's been doing. And it's been very exciting just to hear the breakthroughs, the individual breakthroughs, how you've touched people's lives with the love and the life of Jesus because you've been activated. You've received an impartation from heaven, from Jesus, and it's gone deep into your soul, deep into your heart, and you've been releasing his life and his love. And I'm saying to you right now, that what has started today, continue it. You don't have to have a healing conference to go out onto the streets of Edinburgh and release his love. Two or three of you could get together and say, hey, let's do it one Saturday afternoon. Just go and do it. Go and release his love and his life. Because my heart for this city, my heart for this nation, my heart for the United Kingdom, my heart for the kingdom of God is total and full revival, to see the spirit of the risen Christ poured out, to see his life poured out from heaven, to fulfill the prayer of Jesus in Matthew 6, which we see hanging on the wall here. And he's looking for men and women just like you and me, younger, children too. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Children receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit too. And I've seen them do some incredible things, incredible healings at the hands of five-year-olds. It's amazing, absolutely. I've got incredible stories I could tell. I haven't got time for that just now. But I want to bless you and I want to thank you for going out on the streets. I want to thank you for taking a risk. I know for some of you, it was a, oh my goodness me, how will I do it? But you've done it, you've been there and you've come back and you've got stories to tell. And I want to encourage you, I want to bless you, I want you to feel loved and valued. I want you to know that heaven rejoices over you because you have taken risk, because you stepped out of your comfort zone, you got up off your sofa and you stepped out onto the streets and you said to somebody, hey, I've got something for you from Jesus. And you don't know the lives that have been touched. You have no idea. We do not always know the ramifications of what we bring. You know, the various men and women who have been touched and the conversations that you've had. You don't know where it goes. We may never know. But Jesus knows. And he blesses you. And I want to release that blessing over all of you and say thank you to all of you. Team leaders and for those of you who are in the teams who took risks. Every one of you who turned up this morning took part in a team. I looked in the pews and there was not one single person sitting there. You were all participating, and I want to thank you for that. And I have to say to you, I shared this with Gordon over lunch, in the places I've been to, I don't think I've ever seen the pews totally emptied. There's always somebody somewhere or a bunch of folks sitting, just sitting and watching. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. So I'm very impressed with Jesus. I'm very impressed with the Christ in you as well for stepping out. So I say thank you. Give yourself a little round of applause. Come on. That's great. Well, let what's happened today be a start for something bigger. Allow him to take you forward. And what you've started today as a seed will grow and grow and grow. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes. It's going to be brief because we want to have a time of ministry. And I do aim to finish at a reasonable time. Joking aside, I want to try and finish in about maybe 20 minutes or so. Maybe just a little after half past eight. But I want to talk to you about the pain of disappointment. Now, what am I talking about here? When I release the healing love of Yeshua over people, I do see lives changed. I see bodies healed. I see broken hearts restored. I see depression lifted. I see limbs moving that haven't been moving. I see painful joints healed. I see cancers dissolving in the mighty name of Jesus. You name it, I've seen it, and I give God the glory for that. But does everybody who I pray with get healed? No, they're not. And I'm quite happy to face it. I'm quite happy to talk to you about it. I'm not false. I'm very transparent. I live my life in a goldfish bowl, in a sense, and you can see what's going on, and I will talk to you about it. How do I feel when somebody who I have prayed with, I've preached the word, I brought the teaching from the word of God that Jesus heals, and then I lay hands on somebody, and I speak the word over them, and they go away in much the same way as they walked in the door? How do I feel about that? Not good. I'm not totally happy about it. But what I don't do is get grumpy with God. And neither do I beat myself up. And I want to just expand a little bit on this. There's not a lot of time to go into great detail. I'm happy to take questions afterwards. I was hoping to have maybe a Q&A time. I don't think we're going to have time for that. But if any of you want to discuss further with me, you're welcome. And I will share my heart, my views, and where I am in this walk with God right now. My heart is, because I see it in the Word of God, that Jesus heals. It's there. The manifestations of the Spirit are obvious. They're there, and I say, God bless you for that. So why is it that not everybody is touched and healed? Well, I could say, I'm really just not sure, because in a sense, I'm not sure, and I'm being truthful about it. But I hold on to the Word of God. And even though I know that not everybody who I pray with is totally healed, I have to say, I either believe the Word of God or I don't. Now, the Word of God says, and if I'm not going to believe in the healing love of Yeshua, how can I believe the word of grace regarding salvation? How can I believe that? How can I believe that I'm walking in the power of his life and his love today? And at the end of this life, I'm going to be with him in glory. You see, for me, the whole thing collapses. And I know I'm walking on the edge by saying this to you, and I hope you hear my heart on this. But I believe the word of God, and I know that in my own life, in my own walk with Jesus, that more and more people are touched by his love and his life, by the healing spirit, than there's ever been before in my life. It's almost daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. More and more people are touched to a greater extent, and I'm seeing more and more people. In other words, it's a journey. I'm telling you, from my perspective, it's a journey in terms of my relationship with him. In my relationship, my commitment to the heart of the Father, to lay down my own life, to walk in the fruit of knowing who I am in him and who he is in me, walking out who Christ is and who he says he is. Who does Jesus say he is? I haven't got time to expand too much on this, certainly not now. But I believe the word of God, and I know that when I release his love over people, things change, things happen. We pray over somebody and release the love of Yeshua. Something always happens. We cannot pray and God ignores our prayers. That just is not scripturally sound. God does something. And I have met people who I've released his love over, his healing love. Now, I talk about healing love, by the way. I'll just do a little aside here for a few sentences. God said to me about 2 years ago, he said, I love the fact that you release healing over the sick. And you've seen many signs and wonders and miracles and people's bodies transformed. He said, but there's a higher way I want to teach you. I said, oh, okay, God, what is it? Not that I thought I'd arrived, certainly not, never. But I thought, well, okay, show me. He said, I want you to minister my healing out of my love for people. Now, that's an important step. That's another dynamic. What does that mean? It basically means that the first thing I express to people is that you are loved. And if somebody's body is not touched, or we do not see them being touched, let's put it that way, because things can happen overnight, and I've seen that happen too. Things can happen a week later, bang, and I'm not talking about getting rid of a cold, which could happen naturally over a week anyway. I'm talking about more serious conditions that can just lift. It's amazing. I've got some powerful testimonies of that. But I want people to leave my presence, leave the presence of God who lives in me. I want them to know that they're loved, they're blessed, they're valued, they're important, they're appreciated. And that is just as important. Because God always turns up. He always turns up. If I can't believe that, well then I can't believe any of this either. And it's rhetorical, because I truly do, you know that. I truly do believe. And I want to encourage you. We're not walking in perfection. Jesus says, go and heal the sick. I'll give you an example. I was in a church, in a Spanish church in Little Rock. And I've got a frog in the throat. And I just had a word of knowledge for this congregation. I said, there are people here who have got hip pain. This was at the end of the service. Hip pain. I think it was 9 people came forward, and they all stood there in front of me, expecting me to do something, or expecting Jesus to do something, I hope. Because it's all on him, not me. And I went down the line, and all I did was this. No long, protracted prayers. I just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I just sought the heart of the Father. If he wanted me to put their hand on their hip, I did so with permission. It's always crucial. I emphasize that so often, always with permission. Don't make any assumptions, ever. And sometimes I just did what I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to do. And out of that 9, 8 were 100% healed. 8 were totally healed. They left that place with no pain whatsoever. 1 guy wasn't totally healed. You know, you can ask me why. I'm going to say to you, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. And I prayed with them again. I got one of my intern team. I said, hey, Roy, just go and get that guy whacked in Jesus' name. Go and get that hip sorted out, you know? Okay. Not that I've lost the unction or, you know, lost the authority or something like that. I just don't know. But there's nothing stopping the healing love of Jesus. I don't believe there are any barriers to healing. Now, you'll hear different speakers speaking different words on that. But I don't see anything in here from the examples of Jesus when he went round and he healed the sick. He didn't discuss with anybody, well, is there sin in your life? And I can't release the healing love over you until you've dealt with your sin. You never see that in the Word of God here. What does he do? He releases his life and his love and his power. People are healed, and then they give then they become his followers. It's the other way around. It's the other way around, guys. So don't think you've got to come to Jesus in a perfect state of health, in a sense. Spiritual health, I mean. No. He just takes you as you are. And the people who we pray with and minister to. And the miracle turns the life around. It's not the turning that turned the life around that draws the miracle. It's the other way around. Please hear my heart on that. I'm being brief because we're a bit tight on time here. The responsibility for healing is not on Malcolm, and neither is it on you. It's on Jesus. It's on him. Now, I'm not saying to you Jesus hasn't turned up and not done something. And I know I'm walking on a fine line on this. And I haven't got time to go into great depths. I would love to, but can't kind of do that just now. But my responsibility in all of this is to keep my heart pure before him, to walk a life of openness, honesty, and integrity, a life of purity, so there's nothing gets in the way between me and God, so that I can walk out my relationship with him. And out of relationship with God the Father, he's going to pour the anointing of heaven. God showed me that prophetically about 4 years ago. He says, as you draw close to me, and as you lay down the self-life and bring your agenda in line with my agenda, he said, the supernatural will pour out of heaven through you, and you'll see even more miracles, signs, and wonders, and transform bodies and lives. And I say, God, you're on. I'm up for that. Are you up for that? Do you really want that? Are you really willing to pay the price? Don't answer it to me. Okay, you answer it to him. It's all very nice having the nice big public appeals and all that. I'm not into that. But I want you to do business with Jesus, with him personally, because he is the Savior. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one whose life has been poured out for you. So you do the business with him, not with me. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. You just say yes to him and then align your life with him. Align your life with the cross and see what God's going to do for you. So when somebody's not healed, I don't get grumpy with God. I don't wave my fist at God. I don't throw in the towel and say, forget it. Do you know what happens for me? There's more petrol thrown onto my fire. When somebody is not healed, when somebody leaves me and there's not been a manifestation of God's love, I say, God, I want more of you. And that for me is fuel to my fire. Because I rage inside with the love and passion of heaven. Yes, I'm disappointed. I'm not disappointed with God. I never have been. Even through the sickness and the dying and the death and the grief and bereavement that I've experienced with the loss of Rosemary, never once did I raise my fist to God. Never once did I raise my fist. And I'll share this with you. This is amazing. When I was in Bethel, in their coffee shop called Hebrews, nice name that, but Hebrews, this man turns to me. We were in a queue for coffee. And this man, quite a tall man actually, must have been maybe about 1.85 meters. He was very tall, well over 6 feet. And he turned to me and he just looked at me. He looked down on me because he was very tall. I sort of looked up at him. And he said to me, you've been through a lot of pain and suffering. He said, you've been through a lot of grief. And I sort of looked at him, oh my goodness me. Well, I was okay. I mean, I knew exactly what it was, a word of knowledge, praise God. Pardon me. And he said to me, he said, God has shown me that you never once raised your fist in anger. I thought, wow, that's exactly the language that God said to me. But I had never raised my fist in anger to God because my wife had died and I'd lost her, lost my life mate. Oh, wow, that was salutary. That sort of, you know, I woke up then at that point. And he said to me, because you have never raised your fist to me, God says to tell you that he trusts you and he's going to take you in to places where many won't go because he knows he can trust you. And he said, he's going to release through you many miracles, signs, and wonders. That was 5 years ago. And I said to God, gulp, swallow, you know, hard. Oh, okay, yes. I said yes to God. Well, I'll tell you this. This is quite interesting. This guy, we're standing together talking, and I turned around to pick up some coffee, and I looked back, and he'd gone. He'd gone. And he was a tall guy. Wasn't a regular height. So, you know, I would have seen him above the people. I mean, I'm not tiny. And I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not making a big deal of it. I wonder if that was an angel. Just wonder if it was an angel. I'm not going to say it was. I don't know. But I wonder if that was an angel. He was tall. All right, humans are tall too. Well, some are. I got a very wry smile there from a lady who's looking at me. That right, Winifred. That's how it's. I get on well with Winifred. Well, I used to. I think that was an angel. I'm wondering that he could have been an angel because he disappeared. And there's no way, you know, within the space of 5 seconds, he could have sort of left the building. Because the place was full of people. It was a throng of people. You couldn't just disappear like that. And I looked around everywhere, and he had gone because I wanted to speak with him. And he was away. And I think that was an angelic manifestation. And the more I think about it, the more I think it probably was. But God sent an angel to me. Wow. Through the grief of the loss of my wife, and said, because you've never got angry with me, because you never raised your fist to me, I know I can trust you, and I'm going to take you into places that others won't go. That's because God won't take them there. And I said, God, let it be according to your word. As Mary said to the angel Gabriel, let it be according to your word. So I'm on a journey. You're on a journey. We're all on a journey. We're all on a similar journey, a related journey, a journey with Jesus. We'll all take maybe different paths to some extent, but we're all on a journey with Jesus. And I'm saying to you, if you're willing to say yes to him, if you're willing to lay down your life for him in a way that maybe you've never done before, oh yes, I laid my life down for God. I gave my life to Jesus 30 years ago. That's not necessarily laying your life down for him. Are you willing to change your diary? Are you willing to maybe make new friends? For some people, and I've said this with some people, I'm not saying this specifically to anybody here, maybe there are people in your life that are unhelpful, you know, and I mean that. I said that with somebody once, and this guy looked at me, and he looked at me, it was quite a bold word to bring. He said, I think you're right, you know, so just check out with God what he's got for you, what he wants for you. It's easy, you just have to say yes, and he does it. All he wants you to do is cooperate with him. That's all he asks you to do. That can be hard, can't it? Gordon agrees. Well, we're on the same page, Gordon. Bless you. That's exciting. So don't get grumpy with God. Do you know, I want to share this with you, that God doesn't send sickness to teach us a lesson. He sent Jesus to teach sickness a lesson. Did you hear that? He sent Jesus to teach sickness a lesson. Because sickness has come from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden before the sin of Adam. Eve was deceived and Adam sinned, and the whole thing blew apart. We know the story. Not going into that now. I'd love to share stuff with you there, but I can't do that now. Maybe another time, perhaps. But I'm just saying, glory to God. Do you know, I hear people saying sometimes, well, you know, maybe God's teaching you something through this. Slap. That's not the word of God. I said, it's a bit like a firefighter setting fire to his own house so he's got the joy of putting out the fire. Think about it. It sounds absolutely nuts, doesn't it? Well, I'm a fire. I can put out fire. Well, I'll set fire to my house and then I can, you know, put the fire out, and haven't I done a good job, you know? That's what Jesus is saying to the Father. You get them sick, Dad, and I'll go and heal them. You know, rubbish. Absolute codswallop. Nonsense. Nonsense. You can enjoy that because it is nonsense. And I firmly believe what I'm bringing to you is a sound word from heaven, from the heart of the Father, to encourage you to get up and get going. And yes, we're disappointed sometimes when things don't work quite the way we had anticipated in terms of seeing the sick healed. But when I saw that quadriplegic get up out of the wheelchair, I shared that story with you last night. She was not totally healed, I'll tell you now. I don't tell porkies. I don't try and make something look better than it really is. I don't need to, because when God turns up, what he does is amazing and brilliant, and he doesn't need Malcolm to make it look a bit better. Neither does he need you to do the same. So I strive in the spirit with openness, honesty, and integrity in the testimonies that I share. And I pray to God that I won't sort of embellish something. We might get a detail wrong, but we're not looking at, you know, making it look a lot better just because, you know, God used me or whatever. But my heart is to see wheelchairs thrown away, crutches thrown away. My heart and my is to see plaster casts come off. You saw the testimony of Laura, the lady who had that ankle issue. There was a guy in Burleson in Texas where I was ministering. There, Burleson is a small community, and this was called Open Doors Church. And a very nice bunch of people. It's a small community, but a huge church of 5,000, which is incredible. And I met the pastor's son. The pastor's son came to me with a stooky, they don't have that word over there, but we know what it means, don't we, on his left wrist. And it was actually one of these, like a Velcro thing that was wrapped around his wrist. It wasn't plaster, like little Caleb's. It was sort of Velcro, like a sticky. It really was a stooky. And the young man came to me, he was in his teens, and he asked me if I would pray with him. So I said to him, no, I'm not going to pray with you. Jesus didn't pray. Jesus healed the sick. Oh dear, what have I said? I just stepped out because I felt that was the unction of the Spirit on my heart, in my life. I said, I'm just going to release the love of Jesus, and I believe you're going to be healed. Have I got my return airfare paid? You know, I take risks, but I'm happy to take risks because I know God turns up. I know he turns up. So I just took the guy's hand. I just put my hand on his wrist, on the stooky, and I just declared healing in the mighty name of Jesus. I didn't whack it. Didn't do a Smith Wigglesworth job on it. That wasn't an unction for that. It wasn't an unction for that at all, so I don't do it. Just held his wrist. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And he was able to move his wrist. The following day, he comes into the church service, and he was able to move his wrist totally. Didn't have a stooky on at all. He said, my wrist is totally pain-free. The pain left immediately, but he took the stooky off when he got home, and totally free, totally free, totally free. Amazing. I've seen broken bones healed instantly just with the word of God spoken over them. Is every broken bone I see totally healed? No. I wish it was. I'd love to see it. So what am I going to do when there's a disappointment? It's fuel to my fire. It causes me to press in deeper and further and closer to the heart of Jesus. Because it's out of that that I have relationship. And it's out of that relationship, it's out of that intimacy with him that the power of the Spirit is going to flow. Please hear this, everybody. If it's the only thing you hear tonight, we've heard lots of stuff tonight, it's been great. It's relationship with God the Father. Relationship. There's no such thing as armchair Christianity. Okay? I don't mean disrespectful. Love armchairs, but there's a place for that. But when God wants us to get up and get going, he calls us to get up and get out. And be prepared to roll up your sleeves. Take risks. Stand on the edge of the cliff. Some of you are on the edge of the cliff today, a wee bit, and going out and doing stuff that you've never kind of done before. And some of you, you had breakthrough. I mean, we hear loads of great stories. And I'm just so impressed and encouraged that you've had personal breakthroughs. Oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that. Recognizing, too, the importance of teams, being together with one another. We've heard stories about that. It's exciting. So, time we wound up a wee bit. That's okay. Pastor's looking at me. No, that's okay. What I would like to do, I'm going to do something outrageous. Now, I know you wouldn't believe that of me. Oh, well, Gordon does. He's laughing. The rest of you are thinking, I didn't plan to do this, but it just came to me this evening when I saw this pile of money here. Now, what I'm going to do, I have, by the grace of God, been able to release from heaven finances and resources to people. I've seen businesses turn around. There was somebody whose business I prophesied over. I'll share you briefly the story. It's a lady who I know. She runs a hairdressing salon, quite an upmarket one. I mean, a very expensive one. You don't pop in for a £5 hair trim. I know ladies don't anyway, but guys might. But anyway, it really is. You know, she has annual contracts with you, you know, for your hairdos, and it's hundreds of dollars. I mean, it's a very upmarket hairdressing salon. I do actually go there. She does my hair when I'm there, actually, because she just loves me and appreciates me. That's nice, isn't it? I'm saving it for when I'm... I'm saving it for when I'm there. Seriously. What are you laughing for? I'm just trying to look my best. Anyway, I've almost forgotten what I'm going to say now. She was talking. Her name is Randy, Randy Miller. And she's a lovely lady. And... She said to me that she was thinking of buying out another business. And I just sort of looked at it, but she said, I'd love to buy this business, but I haven't really got the money for it. Okay, we're talking about, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to buy out somebody else's business. It's competition. She wanted to buy out the competition. So I just heard Father, and I just said to Randy, I said, you know, I just believe God wants to give you that business. But I said, the business owner isn't going to give you the business. The clients are going to walk in your door. Now, she calls me 2 weeks later to say that a number of clients from the other business had walked through her door. Her, what we would call turnover, they call it something else, they call it top line or bottom line or something, increased by something like $15,000 in 2 weeks, potentially, because of these clients that walked in the door, about $15,000, just like that. I have experienced this with people who run businesses, and I am very blessed and privileged to release provision over people's lives. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm saying I don't want everybody, if you feel that you have a serious financial need, okay, I could say that to a crowd of 1,000 and 1,500 will turn up, you know. and I'm not saying that, you know, we could all use another £1,000. I'm not talking about that. But just search the heart of God. Does God want you to respond to this? If he does, it's fine. If he doesn't, that's also fine. What I'm going to ask you to do is come and stand on that pile of money. Is that okay? I want you to stand on that. If that is you, and you feel that you have financial need, I don't want you to be shy. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, if you think this is a bit too personal, then okay, fine, do it afterwards if you like. But I just want to bless you. And when you stand on that pile of money, I'm going to release over you the blessing and the grace of finances to your life. Because I believe God really wants to do that. Now, okay, what I'm going to do, let me just think. I know, okay, it might be sensitive to some of you. Can we all just close our eyes, okay? So I don't want people to feel, you know, well, I can't do that in front of everybody. Don't be shy. I mean, if you had a broken leg, you'd come forward and have it, you know, prayed with. But if your bank account's broken, God wants to heal that too. So feel free just to come forward and stand on that pile of coins if you'd like to do that. Okay, and the rest of you, just keep your eyes closed. It's only out of courtesy to those who are coming down. I'm just trying to manage this sensitively kind of thing. Right, okay, I won't call out your name. Henry. In Jesus' name, I just bless you with provision from heaven. Provision from heaven in Jesus' name.